Hi, John.
Resolution 23-12, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation Township McKellar is hereby reconvened in the open session of Council at
6:32 p.m.
Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed. Carried. We're calling the open session to order. Respect and acknowledgement declaration. I'd like to begin by acknowledging that the land in which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Take roll call.
Councillor Morley Hoskam.
Councillor Nick Ryland.
Councillor Deb Zula.
Councillor Mike Kekkonen.
Deputy Clerk Carly Britton.
Clerk Ryan Watkinson.
And Mayor David Ford. Are there any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in general nature thereof? Hearing none. That would be nothing for the public meeting. We have delegations and presentations. Before the delegation?
Yes.
Okay. Need more chairs.
We have resolution 23-13. Moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation Township McKellar is hereby accepted reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held January 10th, 2023. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. Delegations and presentation for Carol Buckingham and Mary Ann Beck on behalf of McKellar Sunshine Seniors and the McKellar Seniors Club regarding supporting two card groups. Yes, if you can speak at the mic, that'd be great.
Good evening. My name is Carol Buckingham and I'm representing both clubs in this. I don't know if I don't know whether you're aware, but although we're called a card group, that we also we also give the people that attend both of them the opportunity to intermingle with other seniors, and they do get some exercise also. After each game, they have to get up and move around. So we're looking at it as a way for seniors to get out of the house, meet with each other, and as you know, the health department says that that's the best thing that us seniors can do, is get out. And so we're looking for the town of McKellar to help us. Since COVID, we have not had the numbers. Some of our members have passed away. That's what happens when you're a senior. Some of them, the media has scared. They're still afraid to come out of their house, and so they sit there. So we're suffering, just like many businesses, and so we're hoping that the McKellar can help us so that each club that have been in this area for longer than I have, that you could help us so that we don't go the way of the dinosaur.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, go ahead.
Councillor Hassan. No, I've had a question of Councillor Hassan, actually, about the various people who use the community center and they go through recreation. How does that actually work? Maybe you can fill us in on the various groups and whether they pay or not. Because I'm assuming this is something to do with donations or not wanting fee charged.
That's correct.
So I'll just ask Councillor Haskell how that works through recreation.
Yes, quite a few years ago that the council of the day determined that to open up the community center to residents, as they already pay taxes and allow a lot of activities to proceed with no fee, such as the Recreation Committee for all they do, which is a lot. They don't pay a fee. Now, certain situations, they got to set up the things themselves or take down tables. Sometime, you know, that was kind of the deal. Well, don't cause stress on the staff if you want to no charge. So we kind of do that. And then as far as, are you also talking, Carol, about maybe trying to get the word out there to get more seniors involved in the activities? If that's the case, I look at Phil over here. He's on the Recreation Committee, and he's wonderful at posting activities on Facebook and that. If you think you would be interested in getting it out to the people of the township to get more seniors involved in those your programs, is that what you're after?
Well, I think that Joyce is calling. She is pretty good in getting the word out. And we mostly get them through word of mouth.
Right. Okay. So your main concern is to avoid paying a fee to the township for when you use the community center?
Yes, or greatly reduce it. We don't want to have to raise the fee because a lot of seniors, I mean, you know that everything has gone up in price, the food, the taxes, everything has gone up in price, so we don't want to make it more difficult for them to come out, and so we want to keep our...
Because the pension checks haven't gone up near as much as everything else,
that's,
I know.
That's
scary because they're going to be there real soon. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering if we could direct staff to deal with Carol away from this meeting, determine what they are paying for the use of the hall, and that brought back to council, and we can review it and possibly make a decision on whether we can look at reducing or waiving kind of thing, but that's almost what I would suggest. What do you think, Dave?
Okay, well, Councillor Peckman?
So there is a resolution coming to the table after this deputation where we can discuss this a little further in depth.
There can be.
Oh, is this one here?
That is the resolution.
And one where we can take an action item to that resolution.
You can add that tonight if you wish, unless you want the interim to discuss, as Councillor Hassan said.
Okay, we can discuss it further when the resolution comes to the table.
Well, that's why I thought it would be useful as well, just to get all this. That would help word a resolution, I think. I don't know whether you mentioned the actual groups, the recreation groups. I know that yoga is being advertised right now. What is she paying?
Who's that there?
Jane Saddle. She's running the yoga.
It's through the Recreation Committee.
Right.
So it would be fall under the same thing where
the use of the hall is
free.
She's not paying anything?
Not that I'm aware of.
And what about the other groups that use it? Badminton?
That's all free.
So anything through recreation is
that's
free.
Right.
So if the seniors went through recreation, they'd be free.
That's right. I don't know if we need to go that route. We can certainly look at the seniors separate as another group. I think it's a very good concern that they have and well worth looking at. Whether we can make a decision tonight, I don't know. I think we would need to know more what they are presently paying, unless we have that information tonight. And if
I think it would be good to get it. I'm sure they would open up what they charge. I think it was $5 a person, is it?
No.
Or is it $6 per meeting?
Per meeting, our group charges $5, other group charges $6.
Right.
And
I saw that advertised somewhere, so it is out in the public. And I guess the question is, do we want the two standards here if they're providing for it, the seniors, and it does go beyond just cards. You say it's activity, it's getting out, socializing, and there's some food as well, or is that?
We have a break halfway through and serve tea and coffee and cookies.
Right. Councilor Peckman?
December 14th, 2015, Council was presented with a staff report on this issue. And Schedule A to Bylaw Number 2012-07 to amend Bylaw Number 2010-16 states that the Township sanctioned events, workshops, celebrations, events shall not be charged a rental fee. Council has made the decision to allow user groups to utilize the facilities under the direction of the Historical Committee, Recreation Committee, and former EDC Pioneer College at no charge. The two local senior groups are given a 75% discount of the regular daily rental rate. The senior groups are an important aspect of any community and represent a large demographic in the township of McKellar. There seems to be a discrepancy with some of these events and user groups. Some community groups are charged a fee for use of the community center, while others are not.
And how do you feel about the 75%? I guess that's what was in the resolution.
Well, I think that one of the points made in this report seems to indicate either you charge all of the groups, you know, even the reduced rate discount of 75%, including the recreation, and it comes out of their budgets so that it's fair across the board, or you make it free for all the groups. You know, a council has to decide which things they want cost recoverable, which things they want partially cost recoverable, or those things that the council believes are important to the community, and there shouldn't be any cost recovery model to those events or uses of the facility.
I'm just wondering, again, back to Councillor Aspin, maybe. Seniors meet once a week.
Yes.
And how often do they meet? Just as an example.
Twice.
For meetings?
Well, they come up for to use the hall. Twice a week?
Twice.
I use badminton. I'm thinking of other events that go on there. Yoga's going to be three times a week.
Yeah, that's right. Badminton. We have pickleball twice a week. I don't know, it's a jump right out at me kind of thing. But
Tai Chi.
Tai Chi also. Whether the walking exercise program for seniors too, also through the recreation committee, I believe.
Now, right now with the seniors, does the custodial staff of the township set up and take down the tables, or do you do that as a group?
Well, I know for a fact that the badminton people that were playing in there before they left for the evening, they would set it up for us. But I don't know if they're still doing that, or I know that they did.
Yes, actually, they did for years, but it was just recently that our new custodian offered to set up, so the recreation committee doesn't need to. So that was a great offer by staff.
So the custodian is setting up for all the recreation events, whatever they need.
Which I usually is just the clear the auditorium out. The rec committee sets up their own nets.
Okay.
And that.
So I'm just looking at being at fairness across the board. So the custodian could set up for the seniors as well, except one of the groups meets on a Sunday, I guess, and I'm not sure if the custodian, what his hour?
I know, so yes. He does.
He does? Okay. He's doing that now then?
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good.
He volunteered to do that, right?
He volunteered to set up for, it would be your Thursday?
Yes.
Yes, he offered out of his... He had already signed a contract for a certain amount and added that onto the workload. So that was a very nice gesture on his part. So it's almost looking that there's not a lot of prep set up for any events. As long as our custodian will set up tables and take them down, rec sets up their own nets, and that, and I believe rec committee and people in those activities don't have a problem doing that because they would make sure it's done properly. So... I think it all sounds pretty positive to put the seniors on the same playing field as the recreation committee.
And just one further question, I guess. You mentioned tea and coffee in the kitchen. Do the other groups use the kitchen facilities? And so the seniors clean up the kitchen after?
Yes, we do.
Okay. And I notice here, too, that the seniors rate right now, apparently $69.18. Is that?
Plus tax.
Plus tax. Okay. Yes, Councillor Ryan.
Certainly, from what I've seen, and I play pickleball occasionally, not as often as I'd like, but and based on that, and not having to pay for that, I think I would support waiving the fees entirely for these two groups. Whether we do it today or do it in the future, I'm not sure there's any need for any further research other than if somebody can say what we're going to research. I think it's the fairest thing to do. And the lion's share of people, I would assume, are attending rec committee usages of the hall and paying nothing. And I suspect that those people, including myself, probably have more ability to pay than seniors do. So, again, I have no trouble whatsoever supporting waiving the fee in its entirety. So,
I have no problem with it, waiving the fee.
Okay. I'm just wondering if Schedule 8 of Bylaw Number 2012-07, to amend Bylaw Number 2010-16, should be on the next council meeting agenda, so that any amendments to what is sanctioned events can be added to that list, so that it, you know, falls within what the current bylaw states.
Yeah, well, what could happen, I mean, the feeling I'm getting is that the resolution could go forward tonight for discussion, and that could be referenced, what you're saying, that the amendments can be made in the future to that to correspond with what was decided tonight.
Yeah,
so I don't think we have to wait to change that necessarily.
Yeah, that's fine.
Now, I'm not writing the resolution, so.
Well, if we want to make sure it's done properly, which Mike is touching on, give staff a chance to draft up the proper resolution, would be have it prepared for the next council meeting, but we can retro back to the starting date of the no fees starting as of right now, whatever day you want to pick today, I guess would be as good as any, and then you know going forward that it's going to happen. We just got to do our proper paperwork.
That sounds all right. So it's in principle, and it's on tape now. So
thank you very much for your consideration.
You have a great team.
Thank you.
Thank you. Resolution 23-14, moved by Councillor Keckmans, seconded by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation and Township of Keller hereby received the deputation from Carol Buckingham of the McKellar Sunshine Seniors and on behalf of the Seniors Club, McKellar Seniors Club, respectively. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? Unopposed? Carried. Committee of the Whole, 12.1, proposed amendment to the Roads Policy Council staff labor charges. We have Resolution 23-15, moved by Councillor Keckman and seconded by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of Keller is hereby moved into Committee of the Whole at
6:50
p.m. to discuss proposed amendments to Bylaw 2022-24 of the Roads Policy. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? So at this point, this actually stemmed from something that came up at our previous meeting with our Director of Operations. It was the January 3rd meeting, I suppose. And I know he's been talking to individuals as well, and we had people at that meeting. In particular, two individuals from Deerfield Road and Bay Area. And there were discussions on Deerfield in particular and what could be done there as far as the fees and charges bylaw, if that's still used as was used in Craigmore and as used in Bailey subdivision. And then the question arose too about the costs. And whether the same procedure could be used that was used in the previous two, because we have a fees and charges bylaw that was set up for the standards for Bailey's. I haven't found one yet for Craigmore. There may be one, and we have to decide moving forward, because that's where we want the public input, whether we abide by the roads policy that was put into place after much acrimonious discussion. I wasn't part of it personally, but listened to much of it, and we do have a roads policy now that is in place. And the actual fees and charges that were used in the past don't fit that particular bylaw as it's written right now. So the discussion is, and that's why we don't open up the whole bylaw at this point, but get people's opinions on moving forward, what we should do to, I guess, bring some of those roads up to a standard. Even now, just as part of the background, we have to be aware that Craigmore subdivision and Bailey subdivision have been approved. Some people have paid the requested fee, as of the fees and charges, and some have yet to pay, my understanding. But that those roads have never been assumed because they haven't been up to the standard yet that's actually in the roads policy at this point. So there has been some work done on it, and some residents have paid for it. The township has paid for it, people throughout the township, because of the way the fees and charges was set up. And the question we had was on labor in particular at the last meeting, whether that be part of the cost. And what we're trying to, the labor of the township staff, if they're working on it, what we're trying to decide, I guess, or debate, is the percentage, whether it be zero, as it says in the road policy right now, or whether it be another percentage of maybe all labor donated and all equipment donated by the township as an option. But again, that would require a change to the existing bylaw. And the references were made to the previous two decisions of, with Craigmore and Bailey's. There is another reference that set a precedent, actually, on the Color Lake Road. We can't forget about that. I actually have the documentation. And believe it or not, some of us were around then and sitting on council when that happened. And it was a totally different setup at that point. It went through the Local Improvement Act, which is now Regulation 586, and people paid based on frontage, as the act is very precise in how people pay. And there was a procedure in place that was all followed, and actually Municipal Affairs was involved in it as well. So what we just want to do is open up here as far as precedents. I think there have been two precedents, and we have to decide at this stage which one we might want to follow moving forward. And I think I'll stop lecturing at this point. Maybe just get some public's opinion on it and where we stand. And maybe again, I'll ask council, first of all, if they have any particular views on it. And then we'll open up to the public if you can come up. And if you do have a concern or comment on it, then you can give your name and perhaps the location as well, if that's a concern that you're interested in that particular area. But I'd like to start with council first of all and then open it up to the public if everybody's agreeable to that approach. So council, any comments on where we are at this stage? Councilor Ryan.
Sorry, give me a second. In particular, the issues that we heard at our last council meeting was certainly about the fairness issue related to the recovery of staff labor costs. I didn't say anything. People are voting with their feet, sorry. Because we did not recover the costs for the labor that was used on Bailey's or Craigmore and their associated roads. And obviously to do that would be a major imposition. From memory alone, when Greg was here at our last meeting talking about this, the estimate for Deerfield was something in the range of $100,000, although I might be off by some amount, which would have the effect of, when we compare the original cost that Greg had identified for Deerfield and Bay, which was $140,000, which is at least a couple of years old, which would explain in part the difference due to inflation. But if we added that, his current estimate of $190,000 plus another $100,000, that would virtually double the bill that those people were expecting to pay. Through no fault of their own other than it took time to do it, and certainly COVID has an impact on that stuff too. The other thing that I found in looking through my, I've said this to some other people recently, when I was looking through my paperwork at home, because I was on the ad hoc committee as well, and I have literally 1,000 pages of paper at home about this issue. One of the things that I was surprised to discover was that in Resolution 21-016, we passed a resolution. I was not on council at the time. Council of the day passed a resolution that specifically says I can read the whole resolution if necessary, or I could simply
digest it. Yeah,
it just the paragraph or the sentence that covers it says, and that the costs related to staff time, wages, in brackets, shall not be considered a component of the shared costs. And that was passed on January the 12th, 2021. And clearly that was what we followed with both Bailey's and Craigmore. And I think it's decidedly unfair to residents on other roads that weren't done at that time. Again, I'm not putting fault on anybody, but simply put, they weren't in the schedule at that point in time. They are now. And again, it has a very material impact. My particular worry is that that impact may indeed drive people on those roads to subsequently decide that it's either too much money or they don't want to pay that much money, and therefore those roads won't get upgraded and or assumed in due course. And that's a major detriment. I think that the whole roads policy, certainly in the ad hoc committee, was simply to find ways to get this done on a more economical basis, but also one that met the standards. And certainly the work done in Bailey's and I can't say for sure for Craigmore, but in Bailey's was approved by the township's engineer in writing. And that's also covered in the roads needs study that was done by Tatum as well, explicitly. And if needed, I could go through the details of those things, but that's really the highlights of it. And more importantly, the roads policy, which the one that was passed by previous council, does have many references to OREG 586-06, which is the Local Improvements Act, which is what was used for McKellar Lake Road. It makes reference in several places that that's the only means to do it, which is categorically untrue. We can use fees and charges, which clearly we've done in Bailey's and Craigmore. We also have a letter from the municipality's legal counsel, which is very explicit about this, and frankly, in no uncertain terms, says that we should not be using local improvements. We should be using fees and charges to collect these because it gives us much more flexibility. And I think you alluded to that, Mayor, in your comments about, you know, dividing it based on frontage, which is a requirement of 586. But the letter from our legal counsel, which I know is on file with the township, I have it in a different file, it doesn't matter. But, I mean, without going into the details, it is extremely supportive of fees and charges. So I've said my piece. I mean, I'm done with that unless somebody has questions for me. But
well, just one clarification on what you're saying. Approved by the engineer. Now, I was looking from the sidelines, but what exactly, if you recall, did the engineer approve? What standard?
He did an examination or possibly an inspection. I know there's a difference for an engineer to use those two words, of those roads with Greg in, I believe, May. I know Rob Gilley would know the date because he came out with Craigmore at the same time.
Well, the engineer and Greg came up to Deerfield to have a look at our roads.
I can give you details. Having said that, again, I acknowledge that it was a difficult conversation at the last time with the old council. Notwithstanding that, I can go through, but it would take a very long time to do and point out those things in the version of the roads policy that I wrote in April and submitted to council in April for the April 12th meeting last year. I have the details in there, and I put it in quotations, and I quote the reference from the roads needs study that supports those things that I've just told you. This is not just my opinion. This is an engineering firm in writing confirming it to us that those things are acceptable.
That's so, all I was getting.
Actually, the word was tolerable that they used, but that is their word, not mine. So,
well, that's what I was asking, I guess, what the engineer had actually, I guess, what direction, what mandate did the engineer have? Because I recall a letter from the engineer saying that these aren't the standards that we would normally be approving, but based on what you're looking for, then he went that way and he costed it out and said this is what would be acceptable at your standards. So the township set the standards, I assume. And then I guess my question right now is moving forward with the new bylaw in place, the roads policy in place, do those roads meet the standards that exist now? And that's
meaning Bailey's and Craigmore, do those roads? Are those roads?
Even though some work has been done on them, do they measure up to the standards? Because the way the roads policy reads right now is that it's for new construction, but also upgrading of existing construction of roads. So that's why I just wondered, even though improvements were made, would they measure up to the standards that exist now?
I think that was their opinion about those. They're not two roads, they're multiple roads, but those two subdivisions, yes. I mean, I can't, you know, that's my answer to the question. To give you the specifics of exactly what they said and where they said it, I can do that. I didn't prepare that for this meeting, but I could do that for a subsequent meeting and provide particularly the roads needs study, which is a big document and a lot of words, as well as several letters, actually not letters, they're emails that they wrote to Greg and Greg provided to council. So,
okay. No, this is like an overview now. Those decisions will be made tonight. Councillor Keck.
Basically, the question I had was in line with what you were asking. What was it that the engineering firm was agreeing to? Because what I recall was they were costing out the cost of what was being proposed, but never indicated that they were in agreement with that proposal of a different standard. So I'd just like to have some confirming documentation, because I don't recall seeing that. That's why council in the last term requested to have a legal opinion and an engineering review of the roads policy, which never took place with the previous roads policy. So I just like to have some confirmation about the statement of the engineer agreed on the previous roads construction standards.
So we'll have to get that clarified. You say they're on file, and you say they don't exist. So we're not sure what we're
saying. The only other point, I mean, I accept Mike's statements. Those are also facts. But the factor was when he came here last May, when a Tatum engineer came here last May, they came to do a post-inspection of the road upgrades, not about the roads policy per se. And without saying words out of school, I don't know, Rob, if you know any more about what exactly he would have said.
No, I met with Greg and the engineer, and I met with them first, and then they were heading over to Craig Moore,
okay.
And I had to look at them after that, so I have no idea what was discussed.
Do you know, Phil? Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
I think I recall overhearing a conversation where the engineer came, looked at the situation, and walked away from the file. I don't know if our clerk administrator knows anything in regards to that.
No. I think Greg is behind that.
Other councillors' opinions? We'll open that up. Any other opinions? Open it to the public then. Again, if you want to speak to this issue about, I guess, which policy we should be following moving forward and whether we should be opening up the roads policy that now is legislated. And where we should go.
Okay.
Now you will speak. Okay.
Okay.
Councilor Zulak.
Okay, so I don't believe we should be opening up the roads policy going forward. The Local Improvement Act, like you were saying, the people on McKellar Lake Road, everybody paid their fair share towards it. This fees and charges... it needs to come forward, and we need to go over it and look at it before I can make a decision on that. But as far as Deerfield and Bay, I was just looking at a motion back in April 2022, and at that last meeting that we had here where Mr. Spiegel was saying that the roads crew are being paid a wage. And correct me if I'm wrong, but he was suggesting that they were being paid a wage so that they shouldn't also be charging for the work being done there if they did do work there. Well, in this motion, the resolution here, and it says, and whereas they have agreed, this is Deerfield, and where they have agreed As whereas they have agreed that they are responsible for costs of completing Deerfield Road and Bay Drive to required standards. So I think we're now sort of pressuring the roads super, asking him questions and things as to words. That's how the meeting went. The meeting went, asking him questions as to how much it's going to cost. And this is a different council. It's not up to the road super to decide. It's up to the council to decide, and then for them to move forward on council's decision. So I think that needs to be taken into consideration. That is the council decision, and that here in this motion where it's saying that they are responsible for the cost of completing Deerfield Road. And as far as McDonough Lake Road went, those people paid for that work, and that was also a precedent then. And now you're saying that Bailey's, they did a substandard road. They did. It wasn't a road that the engineer was satisfied with. The committee, I would guess, I went to a few of the meetings. The committee for the roads committee. Probably 8 out of the 10 people on the committee had an interest in the roads being done. That committee, there was no declaration of pecuniary interest on that committee. And I mean, that committee was to follow all the rules and the same procedures that a committee of, that a council does, and it wasn't being followed. There was also, I went to a presentation where with the engineer's report, and as far as I know, the people on the committee weren't allowed to see that engineer's report before it was presented to the public because they didn't feel that you had enough knowledge, the people on the committee had enough knowledge to understand that engineer's report. Now, to me, that's not right. That should have been a committee should have seen that before the public seen it and were able to go through it. So I need to see all the figures and all the facts before we go ahead and say, yes, it's going to be $190,000 and, that the township will not charge for their labor. I don't think that's right. The township has a lot of things to do on their plate, and so are these people going to know they've been waiting for a long, long time, but are you going to wait? There's no line item in the budget that says bringing up unassumed roads. There's no line up in there, line item that says that in the budget, that they're going to, you know, spend so much on unassumed roads to bring them up to a standard. And the time, they have to work that into their schedule. That's it.
Okay, a couple of points you mentioned, too, and I think we talked to Director of Operations before about this. And the people at the meeting on January 3rd were in agreement that we need costs up front. And it sounds like you would actually entertain the fees and charges. I don't want to put words in your mouth there. If you knew the costs up front, and that's something they would have to know as well, and how that's going to be spread throughout the group, how they're going to actually pay, whether it be equal payment as it was in the other two, whether it be by road frontage. So that's something that the director would have to pull together and get some figures. And I think it was agreed at the last meeting, too, that the costs have undoubtedly gone up. So any promises or any quotes probably not reflective of the reality right now. We have to get new figures. Just one other point there. But go ahead, Councillor Rock.
Just for the record, I mean, I didn't explain the whole process, but during that cycle when those roads were upgraded, Bailey's and Craigmore, there was a letter sent by the township staff to the residents on the road with estimated costs that were detailed by category. There's about 5 or 6 major categories, obviously, you know, material and fill and equipment and so on. And that was provided in advance to seek their agreement, which obviously we got a majority agreement. And then later in the cycle, once the work was done, there was a second letter that was produced and mailed to the owners of the properties with a differential. And frankly, I can speak best to Bailey's because I have the paperwork. I'm having some difficulty with others. But the truth was that the costs actually went from about $83,000 to $91,000. But because there was more roads being included, more landowners, then the cost per owner decreased during that period from roughly $3,700 to roughly $3,500. But those were documented, and I think it would be fair to say that when we're talking about Deerfield and Bay, at the same stage with Bailey's and for Craigmore, that I doubt that you had anything in writing at that point for those. They came later. In other words, the cycle would be that the road says we'd like to get this done, and I'm just, that's very vague comments, but, and then through that cycle, a letter is produced saying, do you want to, yes or no, and here's the expected costs, and then we go through the upgrades and get them done, and then the second letter is sent with, you know, using the fees and charges methodology saying, now your costs are this, it's detailed, and the cost per owner is this, because we did an equal split in those cases. So in other words, everybody on that road paid an equal share, which is very different than what we did on McKellar Lake Road. And that's how it happened, and then the fees were collected through the tax bills, tax rolls. So I'm just trying to explain it. I can give you more details. I do have those details here for Bailey's in particular, and they're quite available. I can show them to you right now if you wanted to, but I mean, we could table that for council for a later session. So
my only concern there was the order in which things happened, and that's why we had directed the Director of Operations to look at the costs up front so they know, not be told later, especially with Craigmore. I haven't found any agreement yet. So the work's done, and I don't know what people are paying, just out of goodwill, I guess, trust, and what they said they would pay, but there's no signed agreement, and that's what I'm thinking we should have up front before you move forward and start doing the work.
Well, I think it's fair to say that we do, whether it forms like a legal agreement, but I mean, the fees and charges are technically imposed by the township, by council.
No, signed legal agreement, though.
Okay, but I mean, that's not a requirement of fees and charges.
No, but if council, I'm just saying the way it happened in the past.
Sure.
I'm not sure, I mean, our treasurer may or may not confirm this. I'm not even sure if everybody has paid yet.
Okay.
And so I just wanted to make sure that was confirmed. And certainly with McKellar Lake Road, that was done. People knew up front what their costs were going to be.
Well, I think it's fair to say that in the case of Bailey's, for sure, that the costs were known before the work commenced.
Yes.
In all cases, because everyone would have received an individual letter at their home, or to, you know, not their home, wherever their address is, in every case. And I have samples of some of them. I don't have all of them by any means. I assume the township does. Everything else, and there was an actual ballot that was completed with your choices and everything else that forms the basis for agreement to the original price and then ultimately the final price, which was advised in a letter before it was implemented, imposed.
See, that's where I'm having a bit of difficulty with it, because I haven't seen that agreement. You mentioned ballots, you mentioned different things, but as far as a legal agreement, I'm not sure that it exists. I think we have to make sure that that's in place prior to moving forward. I mean, even now, as we put out tenders to various things that we're expecting here, and one of the reasons, and I know it's way off topic, but our Recreation and Cultural Center, we're well into that, and we have no figures to really rely on. And that's why I think things have to be signed up front so people know going forward. Councillor Peckman.
Yeah, there was... in Councillor Ryland's initial opening statements, there was quite a lengthy debate regarding Regulation 586.06 and fees and charges. I don't think that's part of the question, since that the current roads bylaw policy on page 2 allows for either of those two options to recoup costs to the municipality. So I don't think that's, you know, part of the debate discussion that we're having. Either option is available to the those who would be engaged in the process for bringing roads, as it says, they're upgrading municipally owned unassumed roads. So I don't think that's part of the debate here.
No, I agree. I think what we're going to be looking at is here, who pays what and to what standard are we expecting. And, again, you just open it up to the public, maybe with some other views on this, and to help us out here in our discussions. Oh, Councillor Haskin first.
Yeah, I better voice my opinion just so the audience kind of knows, and after our discussions a couple of weeks ago with the Deerfield group. They've been knocking on our door for years now and have been led to believe that something good's going to happen sooner or later. And I believe we kind of left that meeting making them feel good again that, yes, we would make some sort of arrangements to get that road done, and that would mean putting a figure up front, which was discussed, and it would mean through our directors or operations led them to believe that the municipality would be willing to cover possibility of some staff time and wages. And my feeling on it is, and the director of operations feels he could do the work this year, fit it into his busy schedule. I think it's a fair deal where the residents on the road pay a large portion, but the municipality also contribute to bring the road up to a certain standard, as these people do pay taxes. So I'm as a councillor, I'm willing to hopefully look forward to getting this work done, and that may mean a slight amendment to the standards bylaw that has already been passed, whether we deal with each road. I know that 152 is coming up in line there also, so whether we do amendments to accommodate both those roads or we just keep the ball rolling and we get Deerfield happening this year with whatever minor amendments we got to make to this bylaw and come to some sort of a figure agreement, which was brought up at the last meeting, and I think a final decision should be made soon. So my feeling is, yes, we're very close to getting the job done, and I think the property owners and the municipality both putting some funds in, we can get that done.
Okay. On the public. Game with the microphone if you could.
That was me you were pointing at. What was it?
Yep. You state your name.
Reg Moore, 6 Fox Farm Road. So the first thing I'd like to do is going back to the last week's meeting, January 3rd, the committee, the whole meeting, I had made a statement that the roads bylaw would have to be amended in order to allow work to be done for free labor, with free labor on the roads, on Deerfield Road specifically. And since that time, I've done a thorough review. I hadn't looked at the roads bylaw in a while, and I did a thorough review of it, and I'd like to retract that statement. I don't think the bylaw does need to be amended. And I think the bylaw would allow council to do that if they so wished. So on page 2, upgrading of municipally owned unassumed roads. So the reason Nick doesn't find fees and charges through the bylaw, because that's the only place fees and charges applies, is municipally owned unassumed roads. It doesn't apply anywhere else. Everything else has to be 58606. So that's why you don't find it anywhere else. So if somebody wanted to upgrade a private road or a road that wasn't owned by the municipality, then they have to go through 58606. So whenever you read the first paragraph, unless council makes an exception, the policy of the township has been that all costs associated with upgrading and improving a municipally owned unassumed road or municipally owned unassumed road allowance to become a municipal year-round maintained road shall be borne by the landowners who front on, abut, or access the respective road or roads. So unless council makes an exception. So I don't think there needs to be an amendment for the bylaw. I think there needs to be a resolution.
Okay.
That's my idea.
Okay. Good clarification. Thank you.
Whenever it comes to Bailey's, my stint on council, I don't ever remember seeing a legal agreement of any kind. That's all I can say about that. I don't remember Craig Moore ever coming before council for a fees and charges bylaw. So the work's been done, and I don't ever remember seeing a fees and charges bylaw for Craig Moore. I stand to be corrected if there is one. I did for Bailey's, but I didn't see it for Craig Moore.
And I guess the question is, maybe it's putting you in a bad spot. Your feelings on that as a precedent for the township?
I think McKellar Lake Road set the precedent. That was a municipally owned road, which is what these are. Mm-hmm. And they proceeded through local improvements. So we now have a bylaw that says these roads can proceed through fees and charges. They're getting a pretty nice gift there. Probably about a quarter of the cost of the road would be under local improvements because it would have to be year-round maintained with RDOT. So it's a pretty nice gift. So I think council might be setting a pretty bad precedent to allow free labor. I think Bailey's was a mistake and nothing else. They got lucky.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, since Rich talks.
Phil Jeffkins, 8 Philip Ave. Yes, I do live in the Bailey subdivision. As much as Rich says it was a gift, it was hard fought for, if you want to call it that. Predecessor Doug Weaver was working on this project until he passed away. Mayor, I think you want a little more clarification on how the whole process actually worked. We were approached by the township to have, if our roads were to be upgraded, we were, everyone was given a, essentially a survey that stated what we would want done to the road, as in the width. There was different options for width, say 5 or 6 meters. There was also an option for payment, excuse me, whether you could pay it off in full, whether you paid off in installments. So as far as our subdivision goes, we have been issued bills, invoices. I went on a 10-year payment plan or something, so I have 3 invoices so far. And Roshan, the finance treasurer, he also sent out a letter expressing how payments would happen and different options that were available. So that has happened. Also, back to those resolutions, 2116, they did talk about the cost being covered. Costs related to staff time, wages shall not be considered. I know we're talking precedents, and I don't know what happened on McKellar Lake Road, how that all went about. I don't know how long ago that was. I think the important thing, or one of the important things, is the township should look at these unassumed roads, and they should assume them, take them over. It helps with emergency vehicles. It helps with safety. Gives you better line of sight on your roads. Gives you better grades in your roads. Allows for better traffic flow. And really, I don't know what else to say, but I just think the township should move forward and keep working on these roads, and I think it would be a really good gesture to help subsidize some of the cost of those roads. Thank you.
Okay. Just one question. Maybe you can answer this, maybe you can't, I don't know. That fee that you're being charged, or what you arranged with the treasurer to pay year by year?
Yes.
If you sell the property, does that go with the property, or does that end with you?
I would say it's a lien on the property.
Lien on the property, okay. I need that clarified.
Yeah.
So any new purchaser would have to pick up that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anybody else in the audience wish to this week? Yes. Well, he's closest. I guess he got first.
Scott Buckingham, Firewood 152. I also was on the ad hoc committee, so I'd like to give a little bit more background from that perspective. No news to any folks in this room. Roads have been an issue in McKellar for a long time. Previous council set up an ad hoc committee to look at the entire issue. What were the barriers? What were the challenges of moving forward with the Local Improvement Act, et cetera, right? One issue came up specifically with Craigmore. The road frontage payment plan thing is an extreme issue. for them. So, you know, the Ephesian Charges solution was presented as a way to get around, you know, one landowner, don't quote me on this, owned 30% of the frontage. And to move it forward, he would be basically penalized because of that. They didn't want that. But we all want to live as one community, so they wanted to find a way to work together. And so with that work together mindset in place, we as an ad hoc committee looked at, okay, what are the challenges, and are there any options to put together? So when the fees and charges bylaw option came up, it was seen as, yes, we should explore this more. And at that time, somehow, because I don't know exactly, the director of operations was engaged to understand what that meant to the workload on him. And he said he could somehow fit it in. And it was basically that vague. So it was no mention of payment or anything at that time while we were working through this as an option. And because he fit it in, it almost was assumed there wouldn't be any fees associated with that, that it was part of the normal road to work, is the way it was not expressly communicated, but understood at the time. So that's a bit of the history. The cost, as we've been speaking about, they are obviously going up. So again, in the work together mindset, we need to proceed with that, because the roads, as Phil had mentioned, they're very important for a lot of different things. Now, if I can talk about the future, because of the impact of any potential fee increase or inclusion, or however we want to look at it. Latest census has McKellar's average age at 60, if I remember right. People in that age population need services more and more. There's a huge waiting list for long-term care beds. Doesn't matter where you are in Ontario, right? But there's also people who want to age in place. That means the services have to come to them. That means they need reliable roads, year-round roads, for those services to get to them. But these people are on fixed incomes. So if their neighbors, majority of their neighbors, band together and say, no, we're going this option, and impose an extreme cost on them, because yeah, they benefit from the roads, but they have fixed incomes. You know, so again, we have to work together. We have to find some way of making this work, because the need is there, and it's only going to grow. Any questions?
Well, I can appreciate what you're saying about, I mean, we saw it in Muskoka's, what happened there. People who end up getting the property couldn't afford to pay the taxes, and they had to move out. And we don't want that situation here. We're trying to bring people in. But I guess the other question on frontage, I hear what you're saying. I'm not sure the person with 30% of the frontage, could those lots, I don't know which one you're referring to, could those lots have been severed in the future? Would that individual have
been? So I don't know the intent, or it was vacant land as far as I remember, and it didn't sound like there was any intent of doing anything with it, but he was being imposed with, you know, 30% of the upgrade bill because he owned 30% of the frontage.
Yeah.
And that's not fair, right? And that's what the local improvement stringent. It's just tying our hands with moving forward. So the fees and charges is to create a way to get around that. Now we just have to work out the nuts and bolts of that, right? Yeah. Where are the costs, and you know, where is the fair value of that, right? No road in McKellar is the same. We can't put them all in the same bucket and say, this is the way you're going to do this. It's not going to work. It has to be worked through mutually beneficial mindset.
What would you, just your thoughts quickly here on instead of township actually working on something, and sharing of costs of a contractor coming in, because you look at the roads, even though our director says he has the opportunity, there are many year-round roads that he has to maintain as well. And I'm just wondering if that's another option. I realized years back, our township road super at the time took on some major jobs that maybe he shouldn't have, and he had to bring in contract help eventually. So what would your group, people on those roads, think of? Again, it would be a sharing of the cost, so it shouldn't really matter to you, I suppose, whether it's township employee or a contractor.
So there's one benefit of our roads group doing, well, actually two that I can think of off the top of my head, and they're significant benefits. One, as you were questioning around the standard, they're doing the work, they know the standard, they've got assurances right off the bat. They know that the work was done to the standard. And also, we're managing our own costs, again, in a collective fashion, right? That we're working together to manage those costs. Those are two major benefits to that happening. And it's somewhat of a trust factor. We have, on our road situation, about 10 years back, we had a major rebuild done on a significant portion. And, you know, it was good to get it out of the way. It was long overdue, et cetera. It wasn't astronomical cost, so it was a no-brainer, just get it done, right? So, you know, it does work that way, I guess, is the answer to your question. I'll go tomorrow and start getting a proposal and a quote together from a couple of different contractors so that we can understand that other side of it. That's not an issue for me. Again, just understanding that we have to work together.
Yeah, the difficulty with getting a quote is that, you know, to what standard, and that's the...
I basically got cut and paste out of the existing policy.
Right. Okay. Now that sounds...
So to be clear, in the policy, an appendix lists our roads as Class 6, so I would use the Class 6 standard.
Right. Okay. Any other questions? Mr. Parking Lot? Okay, thank you. Yes.
My name is Ron Bull, 15 Fire 300, soon to be Cold Point Trail, I guess. I'm a member of the roads committee over there. We are a private road. We've worked with the township, past council, and Greg, well, I guess for about 3 years, and trying to get, you know, the road kind of taken over. You know, in the process, we have the process going. And, you know, it kind of come to a stall here about 10 months ago when the new policy was being drafted and put together. Our road, we feel that the fees and charges is a process that should be taken. That's, you know, it makes it very difficult for a lot of people to afford it going the other way, local improvements. And, you know, we talk about precedents. Well, you know, precedents have been set in both ways now, you know. And the most recent precedents, you know, which everybody likes to look at, is fees and charges. I personally don't think, looking at that policy, and I read the roads policy a lot, I don't think if you just take a look at your Deerfield and say, well, I think we can, maybe council can vote on that and, you know, maybe not go through the local improvements. There's a provision in there maybe to do that. To me, it's the wrong thing. To me, you should be looking at the policy, roads policy, making the change is what we would do, or support doing. So you're not looking at every time a road comes up to go back to that policy and have to vote at it again. And you know, preferential treatment for this road, and you know, it gets voted this way, and another road gets voted that way. So I think you should look, in my opinion, look at the policy and make the change to you know, the fees and charges. So we are going to continue to try and work with the township. You know, I know it's a process, but we want to work with the township, and we have 7 full-time residents there, and we want, you know, eventually to have the role assumed and then taken over by the township eventually. So.
I'm just trying to go on recollection here, so don't quote me. I think our solicitor, maybe Nick, has got more reference to that. Suggested that for private roads, that the only option is resolution or regulation 586, that fees and charges was not an option. That's from our solicitor. Did I quote that right?
There's a lot of words here, but yes, I mean, our solicitor is very specific about this. There's a whole section in her letter. This is a letter that they wrote to, she wrote to council on September the 13th, 2022, and she has a specific section about private roads, and essentially the guts of this, to cut it into a very short statement, is to get the road converted to an unassumed road, in which case then it goes into the same bucket as Deerfield, 152, and then Bailey's and Craig.
That's a process that we're hoping to follow.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, she's given us some specifics, and I'm no lawyer, so I found this very helpful.
And that's what we're intending, hoping that we can get the road unassumed and then, and then carry on with the process.
Councilor Eli.
So, if I remember being at a meeting, and wasn't there something to do with Fire Route 300 that the clerk was to know, because they wondered where it was going? It was sort of at a standstill, and the clerk was going to notify them something that all of those properties had to be cleared, the deeds had to be cleared or something? Wasn't there something to that effect?
I checked with our lawyer in regards to what the costs were going to be for that. And at that time, he had suggested that he would have to do an individual search on every single property. And it was going to, we were looking at approximately $1,500 per property just to conduct the searches.
So that was relayed to the membership?
I've never seen any response to that.
I will follow up on that.
I've never, as a road committee member, I've never seen a response to that. I mean, that's based on the Local Improvements Act, right? So, which really, we have no intention of trying to cross it, you know, to go through the process through the Local Improvement Act. So that might not even be an issue anyways, because, you know, I think Once we get a chance to sit down with the council and make sure we all understand how the properties are already zoned. I mean, there's already a number of severances that have been done many, many years ago. I'm sure if you look in the files, the township will have a document saying that the first property owner owns a big chunk of that road, and it's already a separate lot, that road is. And it was a document from the township saying the township will buy that back for $1, that lot, if it ever wants to, you know, be assumed. So, I mean, there's some documents out there. I think we all just have to get our hands on those and make sure we're all in the same spot. We don't have any intention of going through the Local Improvements Act. You know, in our minds and in our property owners' minds, it's the wrong process. So we hope to work with the new committee, our council, and, you know, get it in front of us and get some of the facts out there. And hopefully we can be all on the same page and move forward.
Great, and those documents you reference, if you could find those, that would be good.
Yeah, I have a photocopy of one of them, you know, and we're trying to get a hold of some of the landowners, and, you know, again, properties have changed hands, and we're trying to find those documents, but I'm sure the township probably has them on file for those lots somewhere, but I do have one copy of one of the documents. We'll try and get that stuff together. Once we do have some of those facts together, then we hope to come and see the council again, because we work with past council. You know, we were very close at one time with past council, as we thought, you know, and working with Greg, he was up many times to look at the road and what he thought needed to be done with it. And then when the new council, you know, the council changes were made and then this new road policy came in, it just kind of died and got pushed in this direction of, you know, the Local Improvements Act, which, again, we don't agree with.
Just for clarification, it wasn't this council that brought in the new road policy?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
It was the revised past council.
Right, okay.
Thank you.
Dan Peters, Fire Route 300, or Four Point Trail, whichever you want to call it. You did send me a letter, or an email, I believe it was. The lawyer requested a $10,000 deposit. Is what it was. It didn't say anything in there about doing an individual search. You just said that at this point they weren't sure of the amount of work it would take, and that it would whether they were requesting a $10,000 deposit. So yes, I did receive the email, but we didn't go into any specifics on what they were looking for or anything like that.
Yeah, as a personal thought, I would think if you get something like that and you want to know what you're getting for $10,000, and
at that point,
that's just a down payment.
Well, at that point, we had just we had a meeting with Reg and Nick and the road superintendent, and we've been quoted $1.2 million, and we kind of said, well, to invest $10,000 in to find out what we already own, didn't make a whole lot of sense at 1.29, so we folded our tent at that point. So, okay. we're still willing to work as much as possible to get municipally owned and unassumed.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry, I just have a question.
Well, again, could you use the mic?
It's to this man. I'm Lynn from Deerfield Road, Lanasper. So, I mean, you said $1,500 to search one property?
Per property to do.
And we got.
Your lawyer does a search of title.
That's correct.
So why can't you just get a copy of that?
Well, and we have all our PIN numbers. John Cole has
all
the PIN numbers and everything. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there are 26 properties on our road, so
right.
1,500 to 26. Do the math.
So, yeah.
$39,000.
So if you had a proper lawyer who did the proper search when you first bought it,
mm-hmm.
you could get that from your file, make a copy, give it to the town, so they to save you $1,500 for a search of title.
So
I worked in a lawyer's office.
We may have someone who will. We're great. Get her name and address.
Lynn Ellsworth.
Let's go to the lawyers.
Anybody else? We're not going to have any resolutions tonight, but certainly get some opinions. That's good.
Robert Gillia, I live on Deerfield Road. I did a little bit of research and looking into MPAC and how they assess properties. This came up in the ad hoc committee too as well. We were provided some information that people that live on assumed roads, Keller assumed roads, would actually pay more taxes than I would living on an unassumed road. The percentage is very, very small increase on an assumed road, and it looks like dealing with MPAC, it's like dealing with the MTO. It looks like it's 1%. So, doing a whole bunch of calculating and how many lots we have, it looks like the township would probably gain at 2016 assessment levels. We all know cottages and houses have gone up substantially since then. You're looking at $2,000 a year in tax increases for the Keller Township, and that's at 2016 levels. So it's not really free labor. Because if you upgrade the road and you assume the road, my taxes are going to go up. So it's not really a free thing. Eventually, the impact and you people will catch up with me. And I will pay more. So the money...
Willingly?
Oh, yeah. I got to tell it. So actually, in the long run, it may take 20 to 25 years for you to recoup your money back from us. But you will get your money back in taxes. And that's... Dealing with MPAC is a bit of a nightmare, but yes, Mike.
I don't think that's quite accurate. I think that the 1% difference will make up for the perpetual ongoing maintenance, winter snow clearing, and cover those part of those costs. So we will never get to a point where we'll recoup the initial.
But you don't have to give us road grant money anymore either.
But anyways, that's what I'm saying is that 1% difference may be what they
do. How much do you think it costs to maintain our road every year, Mike?
I'm not sure. I don't have these stats, but I'm just making a statement that probably MPAC uses that 1% difference so that it helps municipalities to recoup the ongoing maintenance costs of the roads once the roads are assumed. So that 1% difference may help the township with ongoing maintenance costs for the roads once they're assumed. I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what my assessment is.
Well, the first two or three years, you're not going to assume the road anyway, so sooner or later, we're going to end up paying more taxes. And it's just a fact of life, that's the way it is. And so McKellar's going to get more money. They're going to get more money if you assume the road than if you don't. It's just the way it is. So we're going to have to pay more.
And moving forward, I know the grant situation was set up over a decade ago, part of that, and I'm not sure if that will continue moving forward, because I think the understanding of council is that if the vehicle is purchased, then the township will be plowing those particular roads, so the grant will disappear. I think that's where we're going anyway, talking
about. But you can plow the road a lot cheaper
the township doing it, because you don't have to show any profit, then Lawson and what he charges, I would assume.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be going that road, down that road.
No, but one thing we have to be aware of, and again, this ties in with the upgrading, we have to make sure that the township equipment of a certain size is not going to be damaged on those roads as well. So we have to make sure that it is passable. Private contractors maybe will accept something that we wouldn't. So.
I think the minimum Greg mentioned before was 16.4 feet wide. That was the minimum amount in some of the paperwork I looked at today. So, you know, our road is that and more. So.
Okay.
And Debbie, Greg seems to have no issue with fitting us in. I've talked to him several times, and he seems to think he can do the work, and doesn't seem to be, you know, no hesitation. He just figures he can fit us in, and when it's slow, and I guess instead of painting picnic tables, they can work on our road.
Well, one caution on that, he doesn't have our to-do list yet.
Oh.
So I don't know what he's promised you, but...
No, he said he could do the work, and I don't know what kind of time frame he's looking at, but he seems to be quite adamant he can fit us in. So there must be slow days, right, that they can, you know, 2 or 3 days, whatever, work on it, and then come back or whatever. I'm sure you can get your work done.
Okay. Thank you. Any final comments before we wrap up the committee of the whole? I think that's been useful to hear your opinions and pros and cons, and we'll have to, as you say, moving forward, and I'm sure we'll be in discussion again, and what the best approach is. And I've lived this personally for many, many years, having served over, I guess, a quarter of a century on council, and the one thing that we had done in 2009 and 10 was starting to making sure there was winter maintenance on some of these unassumed roads. So I think that was a step forward. And then I disappeared for a while. So we're back now negotiating and still trying to resolve this unassumed road problem. And I think it was beneficial tonight to get your opinions. So I appreciate you coming out. And you certainly can stay for the rest of the meeting, but we'll be going out of the committee to hold on to the other agenda items. We have Resolution 23-16, moved by Councillor Keckman, seconded by Councillor Zula. The result, Council of the Corporation, Councillor McKellar, hereby rise and report to the committee of the whole at
7:49 p.m.
and reconvene in open session. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Mr. Mayor, can I request a 5-minute recess while I use the facilities?
Let's see what we can get done while you're gone. Yes, you're right.
Might be less. Mm-hmm. Assuming I can get in the room.
It's
something might have to be added in a procedural bylaw. Meetings will continue when the person goes to the washroom.
Right?
I did a last meeting. I just waited for a real boring portion.
I could think of some other statements to make, but I won't. So.
With a motion to review a previous motion, nothing there. So adoption of the minutes of the previous meeting at 14.1. So it's resolution 23-17. Moved by Councillor Tekkinen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby approved the minutes of the December 6, 2022 regular meeting of Council, the minutes of the December 15, 2022 special meeting of Council, the minutes of the December 20, 2022 regular meeting of Council, and the minutes of the January 3, 2023 special meeting of Council as circulated. More discussion of those minutes? Hearing none, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. For planning matters at this point, we have committee board minutes with recommendations for approval. Resolution 23-18, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Tekkinen. Be resolved that the Corporation Township McKellar has hereby received the minutes from the December 8, 2022 meeting of the Township of McKellar Recreation Committee. Discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. The McKellar Historical Committee draft minutes of the November 2nd, 2022 meeting. Resolution 23-19, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Tekkinen. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the draft minutes from the November 2nd, 2022 meeting of the McKellar Historical Committee. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-20, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Tekkinen. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar does hereby accept the resignation of Brian Zepaniak as a member of the McKellar Historical Committee and thank him for his time and dedication to the committee. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to staff reports and recommendations for approval. At 17.1, the Fire Department 2022-06 report, month-end status update, November 2022. Resolution 23-21, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Tekkinen. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar has hereby received report FD-2022-06, the month-end status updates, November 2022, from Fire Chief Robert Morrison for information purposes. Discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. The McKellar Market Urine Market Report. Resolution 23-22, moved by Councillor Tekkinen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby received the McKellar Market Urine Report from Market Manager Jan Gritson for information purposes. Discussion. I think it's an excellent report, and she did indicate that she couldn't be here tonight to speak to it, but maybe that could come forward at another meeting if she's in attendance. If there are any questions you might have, as I mentioned before, I think she has some questions moving forward, certainly on what we're going to be doing with the market this summer. So I'm sure she could be here to answer some of those questions to maybe ask of you. Call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Consent application B35/2022 St. Julian conditions met. And resolution 23-23 moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Tekkinen. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received a letter dated December the 8th, 2022, addressed to the Prairie Sound Area Planning Board, notifying the Board's Secretary Treasurer that all of the conditions have been met for consent application B35/2022, St. Julian, And further, the council approved the letter be signed by the clerk administrator and sent to the Parry Sound Area Planning Board. Discussion? All the questions? All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Just one comment on that moving forward. I'm wondering, even though we have that indication from the clerk administrator, all conditions are met. If council at any point had any question on the conditions being met, I'll just throw this to our clerk administrator. Maybe that could be available, that some written statement to the effect that all of those have been met.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
I can speak to that one as well.
Okay,
if you wish. The parkland fees for the St. Julian application were paid December 8th, 2022. I sent a letter to the applicant regarding 911 addressing, saying at the time he or the landowner was to apply for an entrance or a building permit that we would have the civic lot addressed, and there was no payment. There was no outstanding planning fees needing to be paid.
Okay, great. Thank you. 17.4, the Fire Department 2022-07 Post Fire Report, Maplewood Road. Resolution 23-24, moved by Councilor Zulak, seconded by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of Township and Keller has hereby received FD-2022-07, the Post Fire Report, Maplewood Road, for information purposes. Comments? Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. At 17.5, consent application B19/2022, Colburn, conditions met. Resolution 23-25, moved by Councilor Zulak, seconded by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of the Keller has hereby received a letter dated December 22, 2022, addressed to the Parry Sound Area Planning Board, notifying the Board Secretary Treasurer that all of the conditions have been met for consent application B19/2022, Colburn. And further, the council approved the letter be signed by the clerk administrator and sent to the Parry Sound Area Planning Board. Any comments on that one?
Parkland fees were paid for this application on December 22nd, 2022. The director of operations drafted a letter December 13th, 2022, confirming two newly created lots can accommodate entrances on Dickinson Road. I sent the letter to the applicant saying that 911 addressing would be required at the time of an entrance or building permit, and there was no outstanding planning fees.
Okay. Any further discussion? Thank you. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. We have 17.6, accounts payable preliminary check report, December 2022. Resolution 23-26, moved by Councilor Zulak, seconded by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of Keller has hereby received the December 2022 accounts payable preliminary check run report for information. Discussion? I have a few questions. I'll let Council go first. Page one, but it's actually page one. The second page one. It talks about, it's under general liabilities and equity, and it's what we're paying to our solicitor and to our planners, and it's throughout the whole document, actually. I'm just wondering if those files could be labeled, because they seem to be dealing with quite a few of the files, and we're not sure which file they belong with. So I think that would be helpful for council when they see this. And generally, it's don't let it go too long before they send in the invoice, but it'd be nice to keep track of them.
Can I ask you a question? I think it's an INA question for the time being, anyhow. The information that appears on the right-hand column, is that actually keyed into the system when the bill is being paid, when the check is being run, whichever? It just says account description and for the items that the mayor is mentioning.
That is keyed in.
Okay, so it's variable.
We did discuss that at a previous meeting,
yeah. And
I have talked to Lori about that.
Okay.
That she needs to put more detail in right. There so that we know exactly sure. What it pertains to.
And just a logical explanation that at least helps him explain it so that if I did talk to Roshan about some of these items yesterday, he had the explanation readily available, but it isn't apparent by reading the report, that's all. So.
You have another one that says page 3, but Algonquin Bridge. Quite an expense there, it all adds up, and I guess 138,
yeah.
Yeah, and I guess the question is, where's the bridge? We're paying for it, haven't paid for it, has it been installed? Is it sitting in someone's warehouse?
Oh, there it is.
Maybe you can where is the bridge from Algonquin?
The Algonquin company has it right now, and it will be delivered in next this year.
This year could be a little more
around the springtime.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they've been paid for it.
So they have been paid up to the 75% of the cost, and that's what the condition of the bridge agreement that 75% has to be paid before delivery.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then they're paid the remainder when it's delivered.
When it's delivered.
Now, again, that's really nothing to do with these, but what happens at that stage? Are we to the point now that it's all set for the installation as well when it's delivered, or is it going to sit there?
Once it's delivered, then I think they will contact the installation people, installation company. I think the company name is McPherson, and that's they are going to install it.
Okay, so there won't be too much of a wait in between, so we don't know yet?
I'm not sure of that.
Okay. It's right near the end, under general, and it says payroll. And I just clarification, I see one as a counselor, and the other is
it's a
former counselor.
It's a volunteer firefighter's points.
Fire department points?
Fire.
Okay. So this happens for all of the firefighters at some point? They come in with the total?
So normally the volunteer firefighter points be paid once in the year, and that will be paid in December. So from the last year December up to this year November, whatever the points they earn, we will pay them in December.
Okay, I guess the question is then why are we just seeing one now and more firefighters than that?
And they have direct deposit, and the Marco doesn't have direct deposit, so
okay.
Check.
I see.
Can I ask why? I mean, just down on the next page, on page 2, Roshan, there's a fire protection services and a bunch of other fees or a bunch of other expenses paid there. We don't have a line item then for fire department salaries? In other words, the fact that it's showing up here instead of down here is because that's where the budget lies?
So basically, on the page 1, if you're talking about the page 1, the Marco's payroll, right?
Yeah.
It's coming out of the bank, so normally the expense already done. In
okay.
The payroll salary budget line item, it's only the showing the where the money coming out of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense.
Maybe a little further clarification on that, because it looks like if you look on the other page or anywhere, it does give a description of the line item where it is coming from. So I'm just wondering why it's not coming from that line item, because there is a line item for that.
Okay. So when we do the payroll, it goes to the individual line items.
Right.
It's only when you cut the check, you know, that has to come from the bank. That's why it shows the bank.
So if I'm right, when the payroll itself goes through, that's charged to the right line item.
That's correct.
Now you have to move it from there into the bank. Accounts payable.
Yeah, because to cut the check, I have to move to the bank.
Okay. No,
account.
I understand.
Bank account, yeah. And that's why it shows the bank account.
It's simply because it's getting paid by check.
If it would have been paid by the direct deposit, then it has been properly recorded in the expense and, you know, direct deposit.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's accounted for somewhere. I'm just thinking at, during the auditing process, you know, they're looking at the line items, and so then it follows through with the...
It's been properly recorded. It's only because of the has to cut the check, so I have to go through the bank account.
Okay, thank you.
Was he asked to provide an account that we could do direct deposit? Is he still working for the fire department?
No, it's only he earned the points during the year.
Okay.
That's what they need.
Okay.
And the second last page 4, says at the top, just for clarification, under cultural sign craft, it has a sign there for $1,600. Do you know what that sign's for?
Is that for the horse statue?
I think so. It's related to the 150th committee. That's my understanding is.
Yes. Yeah, it is the 150th committee?
Yeah.
Well, that's a payment on the $10,000?
Yeah.
No. Not for the horse. No,
not for the horse.
For signage. Now, there is a plaque being made for at the horse that we received a grant for. So it could be for that, but we're also having signs made up 150th to, you know, advertise when we have events through the year. So I'm not sure. It doesn't have the particulars, as that's why we're talking about it, but it is definitely for the 150th committee.
Okay. It doesn't say vote for Morley Haskam on it.
Well, it did, but took that.
Is that for the banners?
I kind of wonder, we're getting the banners from them for that would go along the roads during the event, but I'm not sure. I wouldn't want to start guessing what it is, but it's definitely for the 150th.
Yeah.
There's numerous things being printed up for the events.
Okay, any further questions? The check? All the questions then, all those in favor? Not opposed, carried. Thank you very much. Nothing for Mayor's report at this point. Correspondence for consideration. We have the town 19.1 town of Perry Sound resolutions 2022-157 and 2022-161, appointments to boards, commissions, and committees. And resolution 23-27, moved by Councilor Keckman, second by Councilor Zulak. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the Town of Perry Sound Resolutions 2022-157 and 2022-161, appointments to boards, commissions, and committees for information purposes. Discussion? All the questions, all those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. We have 19.2 email dated December 13, 2022 from Ohad Slama regarding Russell Christie LLP invoice dispute. And we'll have the resolution and then put it to council. And since Ohad is here, we'll have him speak as well, if that's okay with everyone. So the resolution reads as follows. It's 23-28, moved by Councilor Beckman, second by Councilor Zulak. Whereas the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the email dated December 13, 2022 from Ohad Slama regarding the Russell Christie LLP invoice dispute, and whereas in order for the Township solicitor to determine whether the agreement was registrable on title, the solicitor was required to conduct a review of the agreement, and whereas Mr. Slama signed on July 21, 2022 the zoning amendment application stating he, quote, agreed to pay for and bear the entire cost and expense for any engineering, legal, landscape, architectural and or external planning consulting expenses incurred by the Township of McKellar during the processing of this application in addition to any application fee set by the Township of McKellar, end quote. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Mr. Slama be responsible for the payment of $1,750.14 payable to the Township of McKellar to bear the entire cost of the legal expense incurred. Discussion. Councilor Zua.
So, on the Russell Christie statement of account that we have with that, they have all the detailed, the description of all of the services, but there's no actual figures for how much everything costs. And I would like to see what it costs, because down below October 24th, it says review site plan agreement, which was what he was supposed, they were supposed to do according to the resolution, that the site plan agreement is given to the township solicitor for review and if you and confirm that the agreement is registrable. So in my eyes, that's what he was supposed to do, and I'm curious as to how much that actually cost for him to review the site plan agreement, not all these other things he's done, email from Carly, brief review of agreement, correspondence from parcel register, all of this other stuff that's in here, which is totaling up to $1,750. And I think that he has well paid for anything that had to do with that piece of property that he wanted rezoned, because the township was in such a, I feel the township was in such disarray with the changeover of different staff and everything, that the person, he was having a difficult time getting answers regarding anything. And he, as he stated in here, he had four separate professionals reviewing the document. And when he came in to find out roughly how much it was going to cost him to go through this process, it was an open end. It's like myself, if I had to come in and it doesn't tell you, like when we do a motion and say we will pay up to, and there's a cost, like there's a total there. This is a never ending. It could be $500,000, and yet if he wants to proceed with what he wants to do, he has to sign this. To me, that's not right, and that needs to be changed. But I, like I said, I'd like to see what they charge for the review of site plan agreement, because I feel the township should pay for the rest, and he pays for the review of the site plan agreement, because that's what was in the motion.
Okay. Any other comments from Councillor? Councillor Ratton?
Is it likely if we ask for Russell Christie, could they break that component? I know you don't have the funding, it's a long list, but is that likely that they would do it?
It's likely that they would.
Because, okay. I agree with it. That's a point of fairness. You're right. I mean, otherwise, you're right. It's open-ended. Could be anything. Right. Either that or amend our future agreements so that we say up to an amount.
Well, I think that also needs to be done. You can't leave it open-ended like that. You know, no. Or a person no. doesn't know where they stand. You know, let's say they already spent $30,000. Are they going to have to spend another $25,000? They don't. You basically have your budget or what you're allowing yourself to spend. You shouldn't. You need to know what you can afford and what you can't afford.
Okay, you should be aware as well in many of the documents that the township has and contracts that are signed that there is a statement that it can't go over and above those costs because the township is not even aware what the costs might be. So that's written in already in most agreements that the township signs, that there is no set top limit. This is what you do mainly as a deposit, and it can't go over. So those are agreements that township has done forever.
I know, but I know also that when we say we want something done, or, you know, for staff to go ahead and get this, but not to exceed X amount of dollars. So I don't see why something like that, like there has to be a limit.
Councilor Peckham?
I agree, and I think in the past a similar situation had come up, and it was the goal of the township to sort of have some type of itemized list so that applicants would have an idea of what potential costs would be. And in fact, a resolution that's coming up further on the agenda here regarding the township solicitor to determine the extent of financial commitments and responsibilities outlined in the West Prairie Sound Recreation and Cultural Center
board at the end of that resolution, it says that, as suggested by the township solicitor, determine the extent of said obligations and to provide a quotation for the review prior to the review being undertaken. So, as a council, you know, that is our expectation too, that we have a quotation of what the expected costs are to determine, you know, if that's within in the budget. So, I agree, it shouldn't be open ended. In all fairness,
now, I'm not disagreeing, but those are two different issues. You're dealing with one particular service that you're expecting, and those others could involve many different services from different sources. And you're not sure what they're necessary. But if they run into an engineer, for instance, running into more problems than the engineer thought, then the cost can go up. I know what you're saying there as far as the end goal, and that's, I think, a little different than the example. But I think a lot of this sort of hinges on, you know, what was expected. I went back through resolutions from the planner on the file, and I'm not sure if that planner is still the planner on the file. I don't think he's ever been written off the file, but it said he wanted to, and I think he was at a meeting actually, and said he wanted to make sure that the form and content could be registrable on title. And my understanding was that that's what it was expected. Then a resolution followed, and the resolution included a review to make sure that it's registrable on title. And I think that's where the confusion came in. How far do you go to review to just register on title? There were emails, and I had asked for these between our staff and Mr. Slama, and between our staff and our solicitor, and questioning whether you want a full review or do you want just to be registrable on title, and she used different words, and she was instructed to do the full review. And I think that's where the miscommunication came in, and wasn't necessary to do the full review to the extent in order to have it registrable on title. And I think that's what we have to decide tonight, the instructions that were given. First of all, did the applicant know? Did the planner know? Was council aware of what was expected, the expected outcomes, and what the costs might be? And I think that's where the confusion came. So I guess the question is going forward, and you know, we can certainly ask. We have the letter in detail from Mr. Slama, but he's able to come up and speak to it as well. And I saw another hand go up before that, so I'll let you have first opportunity.
So, Odd Slama. So you guys already covered pretty much everything that I wanted to say. I mean, you do understand, like you said, there are two problems here. One is that specific matter, and the other, and I can take an entire meeting and talk to you about the entire planning process in this township and the problems are, and I spoke to Ryan about it, and I spoke to Carly about it, and we all know that there are problems. Regarding the commitment that I made in the application to pay whatever cost the township would incur, I stand by it. I signed and I will pay whatever I need to pay. I'm not saying that I will not, but I'm just saying that the question is, what do you define as an expense? Do I take one lawyer, do I take two, three, four to review the same thing, and then, you know, it's an open check and I'm just going to pay whatever will come after? Also, no one can, I don't think that for any service to your home or any service the township will do, you're going to say to a professional, you know what, do the job, and then after that, tell me how much it's going to cost, and I'm just going to give you whatever. No one is giving, this is why you have a quote. Now, in this case, Carly did ask for a quote, and the lawyer said it will be up to a maximum of $1,500. I don't know exactly, she said, I don't know exactly, it will be up to a maximum of $1,500. And surprisingly, it was exactly $1,500 before the extra taxes and all of that. The problem was that she gave that quote based on a full review, like you said, and not what we wanted to check. From my understanding, when I've been working with Ken Davidson, the planner of the township, and with Karen, my planner, That was the one that was supposed to wire this agreement. And then Karen suggested that she can help and she can expedite the process by starting writing this agreement, and then Ted can review it. She asked me, obviously that's going to add to the cost because now I have to pay her and I have to pay him. And I said, no problem, do it. Let's just get over with it. And then we presented this agreement. It was a full agreement. The township had a resolution that it only needs to be reviewed whether it's registerable on title. To me, registerable means that you're checking the technical details, the PIN, the lot number, all of these things just to make sure that we are putting the right information on the agreement. Not your opinion as a lawyer whether this agreement is good or bad. Now, just to prove it, just to prove that this wasn't the intention, is that she went and she did a full review. She gave a bunch of comments and her point of view on why this agreement needs to change slightly. And Carly and Ina spoke to Ted and made a decision that all of her comments will be ignored, and except for a few changes that Carly used in the agreement, just with the numbers there. And this is what we ended up signing. So I'm saying, if the intention was to get a full review, you wouldn't ignore what you said. But if we ignored, it means that we all understand that wasn't the intention. That's it. I'm perfectly fine with paying a portion of this invoice because we do need to pay for it. The question is how much. Like Debbie said here, we need to understand what's that portion. Whether it's half, whether it's 20%, whether it's more, I don't know. Let's get an understanding. I can tell you that my lawyer, the one that actually registered on title, he reviewed the agreement again because obviously he has to be the one signing and his name is there, so we needed to check that this agreement is registerable again. He did find a few minor issues with the information that she put, so we had to change it again just to make sure that we can register it. And his entire bill was less than $1,000, including taxes, when her bill was $1,750. So, just to show you that the amount here was just too high. That's it. I mean, again, I don't want to take us to the other topic of, you know, what you're committing in this entire planning process. I think it's a different conversation, but that's what I have to say about this thing. And if anyone has any questions.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's to say, your letter is quite detailed too, so that's good.
Rich Ware again. I was on council whenever Mr. Slam's application was submitted, and I know the headaches that he had to go through, which he shouldn't have really had to, if the township had all the, let's just say all our ducks in a row, all the staff that was required and all the professional planners and everything else, but he got caught in the middle of a real mess, and the whole process probably cost him more than what it should have. So I think there's a defense for him to recover or not have to spend so much money. And if I can just briefly talk about what Debbie said, and Mike spoke too about not having people sign something for costs that are open-ended. You're not talking apples and apples whenever you're talking about township contracts and planning stuff. Planning stuff is regulated by statute. And you don't know what the costs are. You could go through with no appeals and not cost the person anything. Could go through with all kinds of appeals, and if they want to move forward, it's going to cost a lot more. So you can't determine what those costs are. The people that are applying are going to have to decide what they want to pay as they go, if they want to quit or if they want to continue.
Okay. Just from your experience, too, I guess maybe you can answer this, maybe not. You say a portion thereof, or, you know, and I'm just wondering, is there any idea of what it costs to register on title? I don't know whether you were involved in that in the past or not, or whether that was beyond your scope.
Well, Mr. Slam said his lawyer was less than $1,000, so
okay.
If I sat on council, I would say 50% would be agreeable to me.
Yeah, she didn't need to do what he did. He has a fee for registering an agreement. She only needed to review, read it. I am guessing it took her less than an hour to do it, and just, you know, make sure that the information is there. So she didn't even do what he did. So I don't think that, you know, her payment should be equal to his payment. But I'm not sure.
Okay. Other comments from council? Well, we have the resolution on the table, moved by Councillor Teckman and Councillor Zulak. So the figure is at the bottom. If you, after our discussion, if you want to make any changes, you can make an amendment, or it can be written in if you just give a figure. Or do you want to stick at 17, 50, 14 after what we've heard? It's Mr. Teckman's, Councillor Teckman's resolutions.
Get a consensus of council of what council would like to see this number to be. I'm willing to amend this from the 17, 50, 14 to something that's agreeable to the majority of members of council. Is it a 50% or maximum of 1,000 total with taxes?
Well, you can make the amendment if you wish. I know you're in a situation you don't want to make it without people's opinions, but anybody can make the amendment and be seconded.
I think 50% is reasonable.
Like, he does a quick math.
Yeah. I don't have a one, so I can't. What's half of 17, 50, and 14 cents?
875
Okay.
Yeah.
Debbie got it.
So I'll cross out the 1750 14.
So vote on the amendment first of all. It's changed to $8.75 that are the dollars and 7 cents. Vote on the amendment. All those in favor? None opposed, carried. And then the resolution itself with that amendment included. All the question. All those in favor? None opposed, carried.
But I definitely don't want to put the blame on you. I can say in front of everyone that this process become so much faster and so much better since Carly got into the picture. And Red was talking about some of the issues that we had here. Definitely had a process going with Ina, but it improved significantly once Carly was in the picture. So Carly just want to make sure that we understand each other.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Now we will be certainly investigating the whole process, and that will be part of it, you know, the whole plan to make sure that all applicants are aware of the requirements and whether it be money up front or certainly pre-consultation, any number of things that are involved. And that's in the works right now. It's being revamped, so it should be much better in the future, I hope. Thank you. We have 19.3, Omer's letter from Vice President regarding changes to eligibility requirements for pension enrollment. Resolution 23-29, moved by Councillor Keckman, second by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received a letter from the Vice President of OMERS regarding changes to eligibility requirements for pension enrollment for information purposes. Discussion? Maybe just quick clarification for all of Council, what that means going forward for our township. That's good you stuck around.
Basically, it means that before the 2023, non-full-time employees were not eligible until they have specific requirement. They couldn't be part. They won't be. They will. Doesn't. They would. Wouldn't be enrolled in the OMERS until they have specific hours and you know, pay. And from January 1st, 2023, now they can elect, and if they choose, we have to enroll them. Doesn't matter whatever they earn, how many hours they make.
How many people is that? How many people does that affect that are employed by the town right now?
Three.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing for the three.
So they have the option.
They have an option, and if they select that they would like to enroll in the OMERS, we have to include them in the pension program.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Any further discussion? All the question? All those in favor? No opposed? Carried. And 19.4, Westbury Sound District Museum 2023 contribution request. And resolution 23-30, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Gagnon, that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received a letter dated December 15, 2022, donation application and financial statements from the Westbury Sound District Museum. And whereas the Township of McKellar funds its own museum, being the Evelyn Watkins Door Heritage Room, now therefore be resolved that the Council of the Township of McKellar respectfully decline the request for a donation to the Westbury Sound District Museum and have no representation from Council on the board. Discussion? I know I was the one that initiated that because we were out of the loop for quite a few years. It's unfortunate, I guess, that they sent the bill along with, sure, you're welcome. I think that helps us make up our mind what are we getting on return on investment when we have our own museum. And there's one thing I'll put it on record too that always bothered me about the, and I was there at the initial when they built the museum. But the agreement that has to be signed is that once you turn over any of the artifacts, they become property of the museum. You don't see them again. And we made sure when this museum was put in, the heritage room, that at any point they can have those back, in any artifacts that they wish, as part of the family, pass on through generations, and that they won't lose track. And the problem, I think, with the Perry Salmon right now, unfortunately, they have so much that is downstairs and not on on site, so that you can't actually see what they have. And it's a problem, and I know, you know, they have a large collection, much larger than we do, but I think they are trying to make their way through the different files that they have in the basement. And my only concern here with this one, maybe it's not a concern, staff can help in this. When we put it in, of course, we don't have all of the HVAC system that the museum does at great expense. We just go with what we have for the climate control, such as it is, and I hope it's not affecting the artifacts in any way, but I think, as you know, if you don't have that climate control, then things could be deteriorating. I'm not sure. I hope they are. But any further discussion on this resolution?
One thing I noticed that it is on the donation grant application form, so it's I don't know if something this is reconsidered at budget time because of the way that the donation grant policy is written. It's not just a budget request that came in a separate letter. It's actually attached to our donation grant policy form. So maybe just to put this on file, if during budget discussions there's council decides that a donation or grant is provided, not what you're requesting, but something that aligns with what the township can afford.
I think that's fair enough, too. I remember years back, well, I sat on the board of the Brigham District Museum, and the townships were giving any various amounts. The little set amount wasn't based on any formula at all, just whatever they wanted to donate, as you said. And some were not even donating, and they were still on the board. I think McCullough might have been one of them at different times. And they would put that out each year. And even though that was sort of requested this time, they just put it in one line. Donations from municipalities, I think it amounts to $100,000 from the municipalities. And I think part of it, if they've broken it down by municipality, but again, you have to look at the benefits. And Fairy Sound, obviously, it's in Fairy Sound, so it makes sense that they would pay the most amount, you would think. They get the spin-offs. And I believe some of the other areas, they may not even have the heritage room that we have, something to that effect. So they pay a donation there because the people from their township would actually visit the museum perhaps more than the people here. We had the same situation with our library. And we started that back in the, I guess it was the early 80s. And right now, I think it's still Carling and McDougall, I believe, pay into Fairy Sound to use their library. And that's what we were doing at one point, too. And we decided when we started our own that, you know, why are we giving Fairy Sound the money if we can have something local people can attend? And, of course, you know, it's been a struggle that over the years what we have now is a library. So there is a sharing that we could do with the District Museum, but maybe, as Councillor Cagney said, we could look at that in the future and revisit this. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
I assume it's implied that we would respond to the museum.